verse, and then we'll go on, and I'm going to expound a little bit on Ephesians chapter 1 and dig a few things out of it that I thought would help you tonight. And this morning I preached on how to give God your best, not your second hand or your least, but your best. And boy, the Lord showed up. And so tonight I want to show you what you have in Christ, what you have in Christ. A lot of people don't know what they have in Christ. They don't know. They just know they're saved, that's all. And so look at verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, there's nobody smarter, nobody more powerful. So he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. Now, if I go into a coughing fit, just hang on, okay? I've had the same thing you had. There's so much more to the Christian life. When I first got saved, I had no idea what a Christian was. I just knew I was not one. I had no idea what it meant to be saved other than I wouldn't have to go to hell. That's all I knew when I first got saved. I didn't grow up hearing any Bible. We never heard any scriptures. The people that I lived with didn't read Bible, and the people I associated with didn't read Bible. So therefore, I never heard Bible, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I was saved March 5th, 1978, 6th pew, left-hand side, East Side Baptist Church. Come down that aisle, got gloriously saved, and for about 2 or 3 months, I was on cloud 9. That's, boy, all you had to do was say Jesus, I'd start crying right there in front of everybody. I'd stand and sing, "Oh, how we love Jesus," and everybody else just sing it. I couldn't sing it for crying. I'd sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and I couldn't sing it because I'd get to crying so hard. Nobody, and people just look at me and act like I was crazy. What's wrong with that boy? I didn't know what I had. I knew what I was experiencing. I was experiencing the power and the presence and the love of the Creator of the universe. I knew that. I could feel that, but as far as the Bible was concerned, I didn't know. And every week, my preacher would preach how to be saved and know it. And I'd go to work, and man, they saw the difference in me, and they heard the difference in me. And they said, "Boy, what's happened to you?" And I said, "Well, I can't explain it, but if you'll come down there at the church, that preacher preaches it every Sunday." And you could have got saved every Sunday, and that was wonderful. I lived on that, and I thrived on that. And it made me strong there for month after month when I was first saved. And he did. He preached Sunday morning how to be saved and know it. He preached Sunday night how to be saved and know it. He preached Wednesday night how to be saved and know it. But then after I finally got all that settled and I knew I was saved, you didn't have to try to convince me anymore. I knew it. I knew it that day I walked out. But after about a year, as I was reading my Bible, I began to find things. And I said, "Glory to God, why haven't I ever heard that? Why haven't I ever heard that?" And so I began to dig into scriptures. And, of course, later on, I moved to another church that preached deeper things than just how to be saved and know it. And I learned that there's more to the Christian life than just being saved. There's a lot more than just being saved. But it's sad to say there are a lot of Christians that all they know is that they're saved. That's it. They know they're saved, and they've got problems, and they've got all kinds of situations in their life to where if they knew what they had in Christ, they would be a lot better off. But they don't know. But they know they're saved. They just don't know what being saved all encompasses. They know they're not going to hell. They know they're going to heaven. They know their sins are forgiven. They know they've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They know they've joined the church. They know they go to church. They enjoy the singing. They enjoy the preaching. But they really don't know what they have in that, what that encompasses. So tonight, I thought I would share, and boy, it take months. It would take months. It'd take a lifetime to get it all. So tonight, I just want to hit on just a couple of things here in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 1, look at verse 4. Ephesians 1, look at verse 4. Now, in verse 4, he says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world, before human history. Have you ever thought about this? I tell you stories about when I grew up and all these people that's died without Christ that I knew, and very few of them ever did receive Christ or be born again. And I tell you these stories about them, you know. And sometimes I stop, and I guarantee you do too. And sometimes I wonder, I say, well, why are they all dead and in hell and I'm not? Why did He choose me? Why did He let me get saved? Am I something special? Am I different? No, no. Go back and read it again. Read verse 4. It says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, did you know everybody, God chose for everybody to be saved. He chose for everybody to be saved. It's just that I received what He chose for me. And everybody doesn't receive what He's chosen for them. He's chosen everlasting life for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ain't that right, preacher? Say amen right there. Amen. We speak English here. We say amen, praise God, hallelujah. If you don't know anything else, say just say hot dog. Listen, but He chose us. But that doesn't make us any different than anybody else. He chose everybody. But the point of it is, I am part of a greater plan than any man has ever come up with. I'm the part of a greatest plan in the history of mankind, and that is the salvation of mankind and eternal life for mankind and living with God in the new world, in the new heaven, new earth, forever and ever and ever. And that's a part of the greatest plan, and I'm part of it. Amen. I'm not just old white trash down here in South Carolina and that people can make fun of. I am somebody. I've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world was ever laid, before the world was ever created. God allowed me to be a part of His plan to save the human race. Amen. Now, that's a great thing. That's more. Get thinking about things like that, and you'll think more than just about you. I'm a part of a great plan. It's not just about me. It's about multitudes and multitudes of people. Go read. We've been studying the book of Revelation. Read it. It's about all those people, and I, by the grace of God, just get to be a part of all those people. Amen? Well, that's the one. Everybody wants to be part of something. When you was growing up, man, we'd run around. We'd pick a crowd to run around with, you know. It was usually the wrong crowd. But the reason we did it, we wanted to be a part of something. Now, when I was a teenager, there was teenagers everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. It was like fire ants. You know, when I was a teenager, they were everywhere. You had to stand in line. I asked my wife one day, I said, we were going down to Florida, and I said, you remember when we used to cruise up and down Cherry Road and all the thousands of teenagers with us, and Hardee's was full of teenagers, and all these restaurants, you know, drive-through restaurants full of teenagers, and the drive-in movies was full of teenagers, and the walk-in movies, and we'd go down to Lancaster, you know, and we'd cruise up down the strip, and all those teenagers, you couldn't even get through town, take you an hour to get through town. Whatever happened to all those people? She said, they're on I-95 with us going to Florida. She said they all got old. Now they're on I-95 headed to Florida. Amen. But we were just trying to be a part of something greater than we were, and now I am a part of something that's greater than I am and greater than anything that anybody has ever created in the history of mankind, and that is the purpose of God to save mankind. Amen. Amen. It's more than just being saved. Hebrews chapter 1, turn over there real quick. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, 2, and 3, he says, God, who at sundry times past and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now there it is. I'm a part of that plan. I'm a part of that plan. Brother Pierce started to call you Bubba. And I'm a part of that plan that God established before he made Adam, before he made Eve. I'm a part of that plan. Amen. I was in God's mind that day before he ever created the world. We were in God's mind as the children of God. And now here we are. That's a great thing to be a part of. Amen. Now, I've been part of a lot of stuff, but that's the greatest thing I've ever been in. And then look at verse 1 there in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 5, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 5. Now, in verse 5, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I'm not going to preach on that word predestined, but it got Holroyd in a lot of trouble this week on Facebook. And but that's okay. He was right and they were wrong. And he's a better Christian than I am. I'd have blocked that woman. I'd have blocked her a long time ago. There'd be a big block on that. I ain't going to say nothing else. But anybody don't believe the Bible, they don't need to mess with me. And I'm not talking about the predestined. We just talked about that. Before the world was ever laid, God predestined the plan. It was the plan. And you happen to be a part of that plan. But here's what I want you to see. In the last part of that verse, he says, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm a part of adoption by the Savior of mankind, and because of that, I get to participate in the will of God. I get to participate in the will of God. It's not these people, they go to church, you know, and they walk in there, you know, and say, boy, y'all lucky to have me. And a lot of those people, you know. And they walk in there and they say, I can't do that much longer. My coat's getting... Somebody stole all my clothes and replaced them. But some people, well, you got them. Got to go on a diet for sure. I've never thought of myself as a gift to the church. I never have. I've always thought of the church as a gift to me. Amen. I've never thought of myself as a gift to God. I've always thought God as a gift to me. Amen. And the thing about me being a child of God, I get to take part in an adoption by the Savior of mankind. An adoption by the Savior of mankind. He's the one that adopted me. I'm a part of him. I get to participate because he's adopted me. I get to participate in the will of God. I get to participate in the work of God. Amen. And all of you do. Some people just don't know they're doing that. Listen, Brother Pitt, there's a lot of people that you're ministering to, and they're participating in a part of the will of God, and they don't even realize it yet. But 20 years from now, when they're grown and older and you're in heaven, they're going to look back and they're going to say, I never would have thought when that old white man, gray-headed old white man, I say old, that gray-headed old white man come down here and he was preaching to us, and I couldn't have understand him. I didn't realize what God was going to do, and thank God he let me in on it. He let me in on it. Now, that doesn't excite some people. But that's more than just being saved. Brother Holroyd, when you found us on the internet, it wasn't an accident. God needed you to come down here so we could help you and you could help us participate in the will and the work of God. Amen. When that Brother Bowman... when he found us on the internet and they drove up in the yard and he looked at this little old building in this neighborhood and he looked at his wife and said, what you got us into? It wasn't an accident. It was the will of God, God allowing him to participate in his will. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you talk about singing, you're just talking about singing and being out of singing all these years. God gave you a voice and he used it all those years for his glory. He didn't stop that. He keeps that going. He allows you and he allows me to participate in his will for the glory of God. Now, a lot of people think, well, I'm good for this church. No, this church is good for you. A lot of people think, well, I'm good for God. I'm going to do something for God. No, God's going to do something for you. Allow you to do something for Him. That's doing something for you. That's not doing something for Him. Amen? And people don't understand this. They think, well, you'll go up to them and you'll say, are you saved? Yeah, yeah. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means I ain't going to hell. What else does that mean? Well, that means I don't drink liquor anymore. Well, what else does that mean? Well, that means I had to quit smoking. Smoking won't send you to hell. Just make you smell like you've been there. They don't have a clue what it really means to be saved and be a part of the family of God. He allows you to participate in His will. He lets you do that. Now, before you got saved, people looked at you. They never would have thought that you'd be able to participate in the will of God. And you wouldn't. God had to do that. God put that on us, see? And listen, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. A lot of times people act like church work is a burden. It's not. It's a blessing. You'll thank God that you have the privilege to be in the will of God. All right, number three. Look at verse 9. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? I don't care if you are. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. Did you know He enlightened you? He enlightened you for His pleasure. He revealed His will. He enlightened you for His pleasure. He didn't enlighten you because you're smarter than everybody else. Matter of fact, He chose those of the world who were usually not as smart as everybody else so He get glory out of them. He didn't enlighten you because you were the most talented. He usually chooses those who are not the most talented in order to get more glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? When that boy with a broken arm was chasing our one of us down, nobody ever thought he'd amount to nothing. He wasn't that big a ramp. He had to swallow orange to keep his britches up. Listen, God enlightened you. He opened our eyes so we could see where we were at, so we could see what salvation was, so we could be saved, and then so we could go on and see what sanctification was. And we could go on and learn how to serve Him and He could get glory out of it. And the reason He did that, He enlightened you for His good pleasure. That's the only reason He did it. Sometimes I'll read behind preachers or listen to some preacher, and sometimes that's not good for me. Because he'll get to one of these deeper thinkers, you know. And he'll get to talking like that God is blessed just because He's the one talking. And because He knows more than everybody. If you don't believe it, ask Him. He'll tell you He does. And they act like, boy, I figured this all out myself. Look how smart I am. I have figured this out, and now I'm going to tell all you dumb Baptists what this means. Because I'm so much smarter than you. I got this education. I've been to the 13 grades. And I am smarter than you are, and I was educated better than you are. But let me tell you something. God, if He opened your eyes, if He enlightened you, it was for His good pleasure. It wasn't because of who you were, it was because of who He was. Amen? And who He is and what He's doing. And He did that so that He could show you His will and He could get glory out of you because He opened your eyes and you got involved in His will. And people would say, look at there, I never would have thought that of them. God must have done that. God must have put that in him. God must have put that in her. So He not only made you a part of the greatest plan, He didn't just only adopt you, but He enlightened you for His pleasure. He open our eyes. I could see. You ever thought about this? When Jesus healed that blind man, the one that He put the spit on, He spit on the ground and He made him a little mud and rubbed it on his eyes, you know. And the man didn't see real clearly at first. They said, how you see? And he said, I see men walking like trees. In other words, he was nearsighted. That's the way it looked to me without glasses. Everybody's pretty when I ain't wearing my glasses. But then, look, when he washed his eyes, then he could see. Now, did you know when you first got saved, that first part of salvation, when you first got saved, he was just giving you some sight. But if you'll go a little bit farther, you'll see it a lot more clearly. If you'll obey him a little bit more and go a little bit farther in the Lord and be more obedient and more dedicated, he'll let you see things that other Christians don't even see. I'm not talking about spooks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about things that float through the cemetery. Amen. That's a figment of your imagination. That may be something you smoked. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I'm talking about without a vision, the people perish. And God will let you see things. And that will drive you to be a preacher or a teacher or a missionary or to serve God in some other way. Because he gives you that clear vision that you can see. Now, God does that. You didn't get that because you studied the Bible. There's a lot of lost people study the Bible. They don't have the vision. He's got to open your eyes. He's got to let you see. And thank God that we were a part of the bunch that he opened our eyes and allowed us to see, that we could see the things of God, that we could clearly see and understand. And sometimes we talk to people and they'll just say, I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, that's because it's not what... I got this young man visiting with me on Thursday nights and Saturdays, and he's got this idea. If I teach him the right scriptures, he can just quote or read these scriptures to people, and they're just going to get gloriously saved. That's just the idea that he has. Somebody's put that in his head. And I know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God. But a lot of people read the Bible and not saved. I just about guarantee there's Jehovah's Witness read the Bible more than a lot of Baptist church members do. There's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. There's a lot of false cults. They read the Bible. Now, they don't read it rightly, but they don't see it. They don't understand it. God's never opened their eyes. 1 Corinthians 2:14. For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually understood, they're spiritually seen. You've got to be born again to see it. I preached out of Ephesians 1 and 2 one night, and I preached on, I see dead people. I see dead people. I do. I see them everywhere I go. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, and he quickened, he made alive. And I see people walking around all the time. I can see it. They're dead spiritually. They're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And as far as God's concerned, they're already dead and in hell because they've refused the truth, won't accept the truth. And so he doesn't open their eyes, and they can't see it. And I've sat with people and I've read them the scriptures that you and I got saved by and had them tell me, I don't understand it. I don't see it. That doesn't make sense. Well, thank God we're part of the bunch that God opened our eyes. Amen? Amen. There's a Hindu somewhere right now seeking for what you've got. There's a Muslim right now somewhere seeking for what you got. There's voodoo people right now seeking for what we have, that God's opened our eyes, and now, thank God, we're part of the bunch that can see it. Not just being saved. There's so much more to it. And then because you can see and others are blind. You ever talk to anybody that's deaf, about half deaf? Usually it's husband and wife. And they'll get to talking to each other, you know, and she'll get aggravated at him. And she'll say something like, did you see that dress at one more church? He'll say, what? She'll say, did you see that dress at one more church? He'll say, huh? She'll say, did you see the dress that she wore? He's about deaf. He can't hear. Amen. And sometimes we want to do that to lost people. Say, can't you see it, you big dummy? I've been trying to show you. I've been trying to tell you. You're deaf. And they are. And they're blind. They can't see it. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Might not get much done, but we sure have a lot of fun. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That's the secret. According to the working of his mighty power. Acts chapter 2, verse 8 says, but after you shall receive power, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Once the Holy Spirit of God comes on you, comes in you, you're going to receive the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I might have my verse mixed up. The power of God, yes, it does save you. But there's so much more to it than that. It doesn't just save you. It keeps you. And it doesn't just keep you. It'll supply all your needs. And it just doesn't do that. The power of God will empower you. And people say, well, I just can't live for God. No, you're looking for the wrong power. You're looking for your power, not His power. You can't live for God. My pastor, my first pastor, woman of Christ, he'd come see me, and I'd say, preacher, when I quit lying and cussing and cheating and drinking liquor and running around this crowd, I'm going to come to your church and I'm going to be a Christian. And he said, son, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm glad he wasn't a nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching preacher. Amen? He was a man. I said, but wait a minute, preacher. I thought that's what a Christian was. He said, that's what you ought to be. He said, but all of them ain't. He said, but let me tell you something. You can't quit sinning. You can't quit sinning. You're going to have to get born again. You don't clean the fish till after you catch it. And he said, but even if you could quit sinning, and today you never sinned another time for the rest of your life, who's going to pay for what you've already done? Think about that. See, we now have available to us the power of God. You don't have to be weak and anemic as a Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of Christians who have never, listen, they have never invited the Holy Spirit of God to help them live the Christian life. They've never invited Him to help them live the Christian life. And look, we need help. We need power. And where we're going to get our power from is from God Himself. And when He made you a part of the family of God, He empowered you to be able to live like that. You don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be a harlot. You can be a child of God. This is the victory to overcome the world. Even our faith, we can live victorious. We don't have to be defeated. Amen? Some of y'all looking at me like a... I said, what was it? Oh, Roy, that cow looking in the new cattle gate. Don't know what he's talking about. But I'm telling you. And look, not only are we a part of the greatest plan, and we've been adopted, we've been enlightened, we've been empowered, but I want you to look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look at verse 16. I'm going to finish on time. Y'all can send that to the Herald. Chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, look, we're also strengthened according to what? His glory. Psalms 18 verse 35 says this, God giveth strength and power. God giveth strength and power. So I can be strengthened according to His power for His glory. Now, God doesn't deliver me from stuff for me to stand up here and say, I just want to say I drank liquor for 30 years and I quit drinking liquor. No, sir. And I've heard people talk like that. He doesn't deliver us. He doesn't strengthen us to break old habits and things like that so we can stand up at the AA meeting and tell everybody that the greater power, the chair or the light bulb, delivered them from their drunkenness. Amen? Look, He gives us strength for His glory. You ever went to see somebody in the hospital, and when you left, you said, man, I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how they... boy, they're just going on and on and on, and I don't know how they're making it. I'd be dead. I wouldn't be able to go through that. You don't know what you'd be able to go through until you go through it, and God give you the strength. Amen? Amen. Now, we got a bunch of poor mouths, pitiful Christians. The country we live in. Now, y'all been overseas, y'all know. We got a bunch of poor mouth, pitiful Christians. Richest people on planet Earth. running around whimpering and crying about how God ain't doing this and God ain't doing that and God let them down. And, oh, shut up. We'd all be dead in hell. The world would be burned up if it wasn't for Him. And there's a lot of us that He's brought us through some things, and we'll stand up and say, it's by the grace of God I am where I am, because it's by His strength I came through that. It wasn't mine. It was all Him. So much more to the Christian life. See, if you don't know this, what's going to happen is one week you'll make a profession of faith. The next week you'll get baptized. And then 6 weeks from now, after you've gone through a little trial and tribulation and you can't pay for that new car and that new 55-inch color television you got, and the internet and the cable. And you know, some people's got cable bills more than I've made house payments on my first house. And you start losing all this stuff because God figures it's better for you not to have it than it is have it. And look, you don't know anything except, yeah, I got saved. And if you don't start reading the Bible and have somebody teach you the Bible, and God doesn't open your eyes to what you do have in Christ, we won't even see you no more in 6 weeks. Amen. Some people I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I hate, okay? God hates 7 things. I figure I can hate 1. Amen? I hate to have dinner on the grounds and go to the banana pudding. And some devil has scraped the top off of my banana pudding. Yeah. You ever have that? They don't have banana pudding over there, do they? But they got bananas. And they don't make pudding? Oh, good. I'm fixed. Show them how. You'll win the whole nation over there if you'll give them banana pudding. Like manna. Or you go to the chocolate cake and it ain't got no chocolate on it. Do you do that? I'll whip you. You do that? You don't do that? Are you the one that did that? I'll whoop you right now. You took the chocolate off the top of my cake.
I ain't do it.
Listen.
I ain't do it.
Most Christians, that's what they do with the Christian life. They just skim the top off of it. Yeah. The easy, smooth stuff. And by doing that, they miss all the deeper things of God. And banana pudding, the top's good, but you know, there's some good stuff on down in there too. I just don't want to eat it after you skim the top off, because I don't know what you'd if you stuck that spoon in your mouth first. But there's some good stuff down in there if you just get down in it. Amen? Most Christians just skim the top of the Christian life. The sweet parts. You don't believe me? Look at Facebook. I finally had to put on there one day. I said, What do you think I'm going to put on my page? I'm a fundamental Baptist preacher, old-fashioned Baptist preacher. You're not going to see no kittens on my page. That ain't what my page is about. I'm not putting kittens. I'm not putting little fluffy clouds on there. I'm going to tell people they need to get saved. They need to get right with God. If that makes them mad, they can either block me or I'll block them if they got something nasty to say. And I wrote down there, too, this is my page. I'll put whatever I want to on it. Shut up and get off of it if you don't like it. But see, that's what they do. They just skim the top. And they don't know anything about what I just told you. That's why they're so easily deceived on predestination. That's why they're deceived on adoption. That's why they're easily deceived on the power of God. That's why they're easily deceived on the purpose of God and the glory of God and the plan of God. Because they just got the sweet parts. You know, Christianity's real sweet on top, you know, but there's some big stuff in there, amen? There's some tough stuff in the Christian life. If anybody ever told you it was simple and rosy and easy, they're not a Christian. If they are, they're not a good one. Because there's going to be some tough times coming where you're going to need the power of God. There's going to be times coming where you're going to need the plan of God and the will of God. There's going to be some times coming to where God wants to get glory out of your life. That's His will. And Him getting glory out of you ain't always easy, so it might be a little hard getting there. But boy, I'm going to tell you something. 1 John 5:4 says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Most Christians are victims, not victors. They're victims of false teaching. They're victims to worldly thinking. They're victims to Bible ignorance. They're victims to their circumstances. Turn to John chapter 16 and I'll quit. Now, I said, we're victors. I've been a winner ever since I got saved. And I don't have any poochy lib. I don't have... if anything's ever been wrong in my life, it was me. Never has been God. And never has been anybody else. It's always me. Amen? John 16, look at it, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, there's a lot more to the Christian life than just being saved. Now, of course, everybody here, as far as I don't know all of Bubba's kids, but everybody I know here has made a profession of faith. And I hope you wasn't deceived into thinking that was the end of the Christian life. That's just the beginning. Jesus said you must be born again. And Paul said, right now you can't eat meat, so I'm going to give you milk. But then later on he gave him meat. And he says, study and you'll grow. And he talks about tribulation and trial coming, making you a better Christian so you can comfort others. The Christian life's more than just being saved. And we have a lot in Christ that maybe you don't realize. Maybe nobody's ever told you. But in Christ, there's so much more. As a child of God, I have inherited some things. I don't have a father. Don't know his name. Don't know what he looks like. Never met him. Don't know. Don't know. None of those questions. Don't know. So, my mom was in a nursing home. When she went to nursing home, she had some little old sticks of furniture and a couple bags of clothes and one little box of fake jewelry. Worldly inheritance, I have none. Never have had any. Not worldly inheritance. But I got inheritance through the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not waiting until somebody dies. He's already died and rose again. And I'm not waiting to get my inheritance, Brother Billy. I'm getting it right now. Now, there's heaven coming. Yes, that's a wonderful thing. But I'm getting inheritance before then. You know, rich people, what they'll do, they'll get a bunch of money or a bunch of land. And see, they can't just give their kids all that land, that money at one time. If they do, their kids got to pay big taxes on it. And that's one of the things that our government's fussing about right now. Paying taxes, that's twice taxed. But if I had $10 million, I'd give you $1 million. But if I did, you'd have to pay $500,000 in taxes on it. Seriously, it's 50%. But thank God, it ain't like that in his family. And so what rich people will do, instead of giving money, they'll give property. Because property is not taxed the same way that cash is. So they'll give their child this one a few acres, that one a few acres. Then next year they'll give this one a few acres, that one a few acres. Well, I don't know what y'all know about property, but it's more valuable than money because the property doesn't go down, it goes up. Well, I got news for you. In the family of God, I can get everything that's coming to me right now. All I got to do is receive it. The problem with most Christians is they never receive it because they don't see it. I'm not waiting till I die to get my inheritance. I've got it right now. I'm a child of God. I'm going to live as long as God lives, see. And everything that belongs to Him belongs to me because I'm joint heirs with Christ. And I've got all these promises. Not only that, I've got all these promises that God's going to take care of me while I live. Now, why would I worry about anything else? What am I worried about? That's why He tells us it's sin to worry. I'm not worried about anything. The worst thing the devil can do is kill me and then I go to heaven. I'm a winner however it goes. I'm a winner in this life, and I'm a winner in the life to come. We ought to be the happiest people in town. We ought to be. All these poochy-lipped Baptists running around here got their lip poked out. Well, they didn't sing my song. Whoop-de-doo. What does that mean in eternity standards? Amen. They didn't sing your song today. Amen. Well, that preacher, he didn't preach. I didn't get nothing out of that sermon. Yeah, you did. You got something out of it. You just wasn't looking for nothing. Amen. You got that poochy, they got that poochy lip sticking out, and they walk around here mad, and they don't even know what they already have. And they're demanding, demanding, demanding. Well, you don't have to demand nothing. Just look up. He'll fill you up. You ought to go to work tomorrow. You ought to go to work tomorrow. You ought to go to school tomorrow. You ought to talk to people in your neighborhood. And you ought to be, listen, I'm not talking about sinful pride, but you ought to be proud of who you are in Christ. Hold your head up, throw your chest out, and say, I'm a child of the King. And I'm going to inherit it all. And He's going to take care of me until I get there. And not only is He going to supply my needs, and that don't mean 55-inch color television, by the way. Not only is He going to supply my needs, but He's going to bless me. He's going to heal me. He's going to take care of me. I'm not worried about anything. Y'all go ahead and fight your politics. Go ahead and fuss and fight and have your rights and burn stuff up and tear stuff up. I'm just going to sit over here because I can see. I've got the vision. I can see past what you're doing, and I can see past the day that I live in, and I know I am a victor. I'm a victor, not a victim, no matter what happens. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Encourages us.